Inner pathways, inspirations for your journey towards sustainability and beyond. Hi, this is Deborah speaking. Today, I have the great pleasure to present an interview that our Kasia Stepien has recorded with Alex Nunn. Alex Nunn is a head of movement building at Action for Happiness, a contributor to regenerative culture in Extinction Rebellion, and a regional community builder in the Earth Holder Network. The dialogue between Kasia and Alex is so dense, so full of meaning and content, that I feel I don't need so much words to introduce it to you. So, I pass it to them.
Hi, my name is Kasia, and I'm part of the Inner Pathways Towards Sustainability team. Today I'm here with Alex Nunn, and I would like to talk to you about regenerative cultures. Alex has been involved in regenerative cultures team of XR a lot, and I would really like to hear from you, as the first time I heard about regenerative cultures was active through Extinction Rebellion. And I wanted to ask you, what is regeneration for you?
Thank you, Kasia. I really appreciate that we're taking the time to have this conversation. And I think that's one of the things that excites me most of all, in some ways, about Extinction Rebellion, is that it is bringing the conversation of regeneration more into the mainstream. I think for me, in this moment, when I think about regeneration in a very personal way, it's a recognition of how much of the culture that dominates our society is degenerative. It strips us of energy. It breaks down relationships. It's a culture, in many ways, of extraction, exploitation. And when so much is being taken out and taken away, that necessarily depletes the resources of whatever it's being taken from. So to take an attitude of regeneration is to try to find ways that, as individuals, as groups, as organizations, and as living systems, we're learning the lessons of nature in maintaining cycles that give back as much as they take.
Thank you. And how does it look in practice on a personal level?
I mean, I'd love to pretend I'm some sort of guru who's got an answer for that, but I'm just as much a victim of being trapped in this society as anybody else. And in some ways, actually waking up to the toxicity of the systems that we're in is actually in itself quite depleting. It's not like you can just sort of realize how exploitation and degradation and degeneration are taking place around you and then just jump out of it and pop off to some kind of island somewhere from which you're able to kind of be permanently sustainable. I think the idea of retreat is a very wise one, but it's not a very practical way in which to stay connected and engaged with society and the world. So that question of how can we practice regeneration is one that we shouldn't seek to find quick answers to, but instead should take on as a bit of a life mission. This is about, as much as anything, a reassessment of our values and how we make decisions about how we want to live our lives. That being said, I think there are some things that can practically be very helpful. For me, I'm very nourished by a mindfulness practice, which comes from a long-standing kind of Buddhist tradition, which encompasses both the aspiration to bring compassion into the world and a willingness to seek for truth inside oneself. But it's also just a very practical series of things like being able to stop, being able to pause and get more in touch with what's really going on inside myself. I think a lot of the patterns that I'm involved in that really do drain me happen in quite a subconscious way. And so by having a practice that encourages me to stop, I find I'm better able to actually understand what's taking place, not only within me, but also around me, and can make wiser choices of how to interact with it. And in this context, wise choices are those that replenish me as much as they do commit to action that feels important.
Thank you. That sounds like really how this balance between looking for what is replenishing us and what is nourishing us and how we can take action from that place. That seems really, really important. And that's something we are also looking at exploring with the project, you know, Pathways Towards Sustainability. Like, really, how do we respond and act in the face of global crisis? And what is the place where we can actually take the action from where we respond? So that actually our response also inspires this sense of contribution, peace, and interconnection, really.
Yeah, I think you touch on a really important point there, because the state of the world and the scale of the crisis that we're in is inconceivably urgent. It's incredibly powerful and important and threatening, and almost no level of action and urgency can even be enough to match the scale of threat that we find ourselves in. And yet, if we only focus on threat, on urgency, on the need to act, we very quickly find ourselves burning out. Regardless of whether you put yourself up for a rest or not, or, you know, commit yourself full time to working on XR or not, people at all sorts of levels find themselves emotionally, psychologically, physically, energetically, burning out in relation to this issue. And what I find inspiring about the work that you're doing and how you've just framed that point is that it's a shift of focus to also incorporate the positive qualities that we are seeking to regenerate at the same time. We're not just fighting disconnection, we're drawing on and sustaining connection. We're not just pushing back against extraction, we're also finding how to replenish, restore, and support those, you know, particularly thinking of Indigenous leaders in the Global South, who are already standing up for protecting a way of life that is in harmony with the local habitat and the natural environment. So when we think about regeneration, it's really helpful not to fall into this trap of only focusing on the degenerative things and how we're trying to free ourselves from them or fight against them. We have to seek out those things that nourish us and that nourish us as groups and that can nourish us as a sustainable planet, and to really remember that they exist and invest our thought and energy in them also.
And how do you think we could introduce more of this regenerative or regeneration into our relationships that we have with, you know, ourselves, with others, and with the earth?
I find it really helpful to remember that culture is something that we internalize. It's something we grow up through, and a huge part of our being is shaped through that lens. So that's a helpful thing to remember, because it, in the context of an extractive society like this, can recognize how my desire to give every weekend and every spare moment that I have to projects like Extinction Rebellion is partly a reflection of a culture I've grown up in that celebrates self-sacrifice and hard work as this kind of, you know, capitalist enhanced Protestant work ethic that sort of underpins it, that has been inculcated for centuries, that we must work extremely hard and push really hard. And the culture of urgency and the situation that we find ourselves in only exacerbates that. So in terms of how we practice, for me, stopping is the real key. We have to, you know, if we want to participate healthily in an external rebellion, we almost need an internal rebellion against the forces of a toxic culture that are still running and playing inside us. So for whatever way that is for you, whether you're someone that's quite physical and wants to practice yoga, or whether you're someone that works really well in groups and wants to hold conversations that help you to kind of stop and push back against some of these forces, or perhaps like me, you find meditation and spaces that help to cultivate that kind of stopping helpful. I feel we're all participating in the same essential inner rebellion, one that can free us, or at least hopefully bring a pause to some of those slightly exhausting forces.
Thank you. It reminds me also what Charles Eisenstein is talking about, how we need to shift from this story of separation into the story of interbeing, really. And that really could happen on a, needs to happen on an inner level, on a personal level, at the same time as it needs to happen on a every other aspect of our society and the world, right?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Charles also. What I really like that he offers in that book, as well as I love the framing of the title of that book, "The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible." It's not the vision we have for this beautiful world we want to create. It's something that can be felt into when we let go of our own ideas. So in some ways, I almost feel like ideas like interconnection, ideas like interbeing, in some ways slightly hold us back, because we can only really access those ideas through the frames and contexts that we're already running in. And the reason why I think I'm sort of speaking to this topic of stopping right now is because that stopping is really to free ourselves from all of those sorts of patterns, to have a true break. And I think what Charles sort of talks about in that particular text is about moving to a place beyond stories. And it's there when we've let go of the stories and the patterns and the ideas in our mind that we can actually begin to feel into what is possible in the context of our hearts. And that sort of wider, peripheral, intuitive vision that has been absorbing information our entire lives, it's everything we've seen but never put a label to, is stored in this great storehouse of our kind of subconscious mind and in the physical embodiment of ourselves. So by bringing ourselves to a point where we are able to stop this incessant radio show of chatter in the mind and all of the, you know, cultural baggage that carries, we free ourselves to have access to this huge resource in which very new ideas might be able to embed themselves and to seed and to grow and to become possible. And that reflects the pattern of regeneration in nature. You don't get something new until something has been allowed to die. These cyclical patterns take place in that very way. So if we don't allow the old ideas to die in us for even a moment, there won't be a fertile soil for new ideas to arise.
Wow, thank you. That's very inspiring. This just reminds me of how important this nature, reconnecting to nature, really is, how much we learn from nature and how much we've become disconnected at the moment in the society we live in. So as you draw on all those examples that we see in the natural world, how we can also integrate that in our lives and learn from the cyclical, from the cycle of death and life in that context too.
Yeah. I'm hugely nourished by going into the forest and being in nature, of course. So a huge champion of that. And it's my compassion for the living world that drives a lot of the action that I do. But I would like to remind myself and perhaps remind others also that nature is not something that only lives in green spaces. Human beings are entirely a product of nature, and everything humans do is coming from nature. So when we are thinking about reconnecting to nature, we don't have to run so far from ourselves and from our homes and find some special retreat in which nature can be encountered. There is nature ever present in every single atom of our beings, in every single moment throughout the entire universe. So that sense of connection to nature is permanently available. We're just masked from it by the complexity of what's going on in our minds a lot of the time.
Thank you for this reminder. Yeah, I can see myself also sometimes just drifting away from and forgetting about that. Wonderful. Is there any other question that I didn't ask you yet that you feel...
When I think about what feels most valuable, a phrase that comes up for me that I really like, I forget who it's attributed to now, this quote, someone who said, my mind is like a bad neighborhood. I try not to go there alone. And just recognizing how much of our wisdom and our self-exploration can be tapped into in conversation with others. I think I want to bring that in as a kind of balancing idea. We do need to find ways to stop personally, but we also need to find ways to kind of explore together. And I think if those two tools, forces can be brought together, we have something very regenerative we can actually work with. So stop and also reconnect.
Just one last question that just came up for me is related to the work that reconnects. As I know you've been involved in that work as well, and I find that a really beautiful way of reconnecting when you just mentioned about how we need to bring that into conversation. I feel that the spaces that work that reconnects an active hope approach is bringing there also those really beautiful spaces for people to have those conversations. And I wonder what has been your experience with that work.
Thank you. I'm such a huge fan of Joanna Macy and Chris Johnston and, you know, all the people that have been involved in creating and propagating that work. And, you know, the spiral of gratitude and honouring our pain, seeing with new eyes and going forth is, I think, has gained the stature that it has and the sustainability and the community that it's generated because of its real merit. I think, though, for the broadest possible audience, we need to also kind of find ways of spreading these ideas even further. You know, that work can be incredibly deep in the work that reconnects, but it, in some ways there's some issues of exclusivity around it. There's certain sort of capacities people need to have, or communities they need to be involved in, or sort of sensitivities they need to already be aware of in order to be able to feel comfortable participating in that work. But yet, everything that's contained within that work is very universal. So perhaps it's not so much a question of how do we spread the work that reconnects further, but how do we spread gratitude? How do we create more spaces in which people can honor their pain? How do we inspire people to look at situations with fresh eyes and new vision? And how do we encourage people to keep going forth? And all of those things are manifest in many different communities and spaces. We just need to champion them all a little bit more.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Alex, for being here today with me and exploring this topic of regeneration and certain practices that are present in your life. I feel very grateful to have you here. And yeah, thanks for today.
Super. Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both, my dears. I've been inspired by this dialogue and it somehow refreshed some ideas and principles that I care about. Alex has spoken about exploring together, and this is actually one of the missions that we are doing at Inner Pathways Towards Sustainability. It's our mission, and we are inviting you to do this together with us. So the next exploration will be the Sit Spot practice, and it's an opportunity to build an intimate relationship with a place in nature. There'll be an introduction to the practice plus a guided sensory awakening exercise. So if you're curious to dive a bit deeper into our project, visit our website innerpathways.eu and our Facebook page, Inner Pathways Towards Sustainability. subscribe to our Spotify channel to listen to all the other podcasts. Or you might want to get them straight to your inbox every Thursday at 4 p.m. by subscribing to innerpathways.eu/newsletter. After this interview, I invite you, let's keep on creating the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. And see you next week.